forever. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 today, and I want to let you know this particular message today will be life-altering for many of you. If you can catch the power, and I know some of you are saying, man, you say that about every week. Well, not exactly. Not exactly, but close, okay? But listen, I'm telling you, when we get done today, you're going to see how, I mean, this gets down to, listen, the heart of the matter. That's a pun, because I'm talking about protecting your heart today. But this is jugular. If you want your life to go in the direction that the Lord wants you to, and to take a leap, then you're going to have to understand these things that I'm talking about. Years ago, I did not understand these, but the Lord opened my thinking to them. And so I am excited today for your mind to unlock. And as I share these things, you're going to see, well, I knew that. I kind of knew that too. And you're going to see how these pieces of the puzzle fit together. And there's a whole part of the puzzle that He's just going to drop into place for you today here in Proverbs chapter 4. But before we read that, I'm going to share two other scriptures from Proverbs today in talking about protecting your heart. And here's the first point I want to make today. Your heart shows who you are. You can put any kind of clothes on. You can put a facade on. How many of you know you can even change personalities? Just all of a sudden, I'm going to be happy today, right? But inside, that doesn't mean that's who you are. You can put a show on. Have you ever seen anybody giving you a fake smile? You ever seen? And you see right through that. Listen to what Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. It says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. In other words, just like you can look in a mirror and see the reflection of your face, if we want to find out who you really are, we don't look at your face, we look at your heart. And the Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks right to the heart. And so your heart shows who you really are. You can hide it. You can superficially impose some type of facade for other people to see. But eventually, it's going to be revealed. You are who you are. That's who you are. It comes down to your heart. And here's the second point I want to make before we get to Proverbs chapter 4. From Proverbs 12:25, I want to show you that your heart shows who you will become as well. Listen to what it says. In chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety. Anxiety. You know what that is? Worry. That fear. Stress sometimes. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Many people are depressed because of the anxiety, the fear in their heart. And you leave that fear in your heart and you'll become discouraged, and then eventually you'll become depressed because of the anxiety. So notice, what you allow inside of your heart will determine what you become. And so your heart is very important. Your heart shows who you are now, but what's in your heart, the contents of your heart, reveals what you will become in the future. And so now I direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 4 as we listen to the Holy Spirit through Solomon teaching us, sons and daughters of God, how to protect our hearts and how important that is. Proverbs chapter 4, let's all begin reading at verse 20, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter, verse 27. I'm reading, as usual, from the New King James Version. If you don't have that particular version, that's okay. There are a lot of good ones out there. But follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words. And let's read aloud, and let's also read loudly and fill this whole environment with the power of the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Everybody together, Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, let's read. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. remove your foot from evil. Now, I want to draw your attention, first of all, to what I believe to be the pivotal verse in this passage. And it's verse 23. Let's look at it again. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does all diligence mean? It means go to any lengths required to protect your heart. Keep your heart, son, with all diligence. For, listen to this, out of it spring the issues of life. Now, when you hear the word issues, of course, in our culture, we think about somebody that has issues, right? And you've told people, well, you have issues, right? And we know what that means. But that's not what it's talking about here. The Hebrew word for issues is the word totsawa. Totsawa. And totsawa means borders. It means parameters. It means the extent. It means the outgoing. Vines, in his dictionary of biblical words, says this, that it also means and represents the extremity of a territory or its border. Now let's put that in and listen to the power of this verse right here. He says, son, listen, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart will determine the borders of your life, the limits of your life, the extent of your life. The extent, the limits, the borders of your life will come out of your heart, son, so you have to protect your heart. Now let's apply that a couple of different ways. We've been talking the last several weeks from the book of Proverbs on sexual purity as opposed to sexual immorality. And we know that sex outside of marriage is against God's standard. And it'll catch up with you and it'll produce death and deterioration of your life. You will lose fulfillment of life if you violate God's standard. God wants you to be fulfilled in life. God invented sex. Isn't that right? God came up with the idea. He's not opposed to fun. He's opposed to using fun in such a way that it hurts you and other people. That's what He's opposed to. God's not a party pooper. He's the party hardy guy. He's the guy that came up with the idea. But the world has come up with perversities of partying. And like, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. See, being drunk with wine is the counterfeit. That's the counterfeit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord in you, guess what? You don't wake up with a hangover. You wake up and the power of God is manifesting in your life. I'm telling you, life is going good for you. You're not saying things that you're embarrassed about, doing things that you're ashamed of, regretting, and just trying to get through the week to get to another weekend to get some relief with an addiction. No, that's not life. Life that Jesus came, He said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Life in Jesus is a good day every day. Isn't that right? I mean, but see, it's a different kind of high. It's a different kind of joy, being full of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, just because you have been filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you are now. A lot of people don't understand that. That's not my topic today. But you need to know, you need to get refilled. It's scriptural. In Acts chapter 4, these people that had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God with boldness. They'd already been filled, but they got filled again. And in chapter 5 of Ephesians, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be, and the Greek there says, be being, or continue to be filled with the Spirit. Continue to be filled with the Spirit. Just because you were, that doesn't mean you are. And when you are, the Holy Spirit's coming out of you, and the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit is happening in your life. So you need to open up every day to the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Amen. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. You're right there with me. I appreciate it. All right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of its flow, the borders, the parameters. We've been talking about sexual things from the book of Proverbs. And listen to what he says. This is chapter 4. He mentioned the immoral woman in chapter 2. He's going to talk again about her in chapter 5, the most part of chapter 5, and the most part of chapter 6, and the most part of chapter 7. He's going to talk about this. Here's chapter 4. He's saying, son, keep your heart with all diligence. Because out of your heart, son, will determine how far you will go. Son, if you're letting things come into your heart that create pictures and thoughts and sow seeds of perversity, son, in your heart, the borders and the expanse, the limitations of sexual perversity will expand, and it will determine inside, before it ever gets out here, it'll be determined inside how far you will go, son. So, son, keep the borders small. In other words, don't let things come in. But let's take it another area. Son, let's take it over into the career. Did you know God, if you're going to work a job, did you know God wants you to be blessed in that job? I don't care if you're, you know, got the headset on at McDonald's working the drive-thru. Man, I'm telling you, God wants you to be blessed in that job. God wants it to pop for you. Deuteronomy 28 says this is the blessing that should come on the people of God. Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Didn't he say that? Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Well, if you'll fill your heart with God's Word, then you begin to imagine and see the Word of God coming to pass in your life because you're meditating on the Word of God. See? And you'll begin to see it. This is what God told Joshua. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speak it, Joshua. Don't just think it. Speak it. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Hebrew meditation is to ponder by talking to yourself. It's not just a mental exercise. It's a verbal and mental exercise together. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, mutter it to yourself. Go over and over these scriptures and these promises, Joshua. He says, because when you do, you will be able to observe to do according to all that is written. And what is he saying? He said, if you'll do that, your heart will be enlarged. The capacity, your understanding of what God wants to do in your life will be enlarged. You'll begin to see yourself doing things that you've never done before. You'll begin to see yourself provoking and invoking the power of God right into your life situations. And so he says, but you've got to see it in your heart first. So you need to meditate on the Word of God because, in a sense, he said, if you can see it, you can be it. But you got to see it. And see, words paint pictures. Words paint pictures. So he tells Joshua, and this has for years been my favorite scripture, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe, not hear, observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice, after you do this, you will make your way prosperous. He didn't even say, God didn't even say, I'll do it. God said, you will do it because you're taking my words and you're meditating on them. And all of a sudden, as you're thinking about them and sowing the seeds in your heart, you're beginning to imagine God's power functioning in your life. You'll begin to see yourself getting promoted. I've seen promotions happen in my job. Not here at the church. I'm not looking to be promoted from here, thank God. I'm looking to stay here. But I'm talking years ago when I was working for Stater Brothers Market. I could see that according to Psalm 75, and I would say it all the time, promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or west or the south. But God is the judge. He lifts one up and He sets another one down. King James Version. I used to meditate on that all the time. And I began to see myself getting promoted. And you know what? I was the first one. When I got hired, I was at the bottom of the bottom of the list. There were all the managers on the schedule, the clerks, then there were the maintenance guys, you know, the janitors, and then came the box boys down here. And at the bottom of the box boy list was my name. And I was the first one to be promoted. Are you listening to me? But see, inside I saw myself being promoted. I already saw myself being a clerk. I saw that happening because I was meditating on the promise of God and I could see God bringing that to pass. See? And so the border and the limitation was enlarged inside of me by the Word of God before they even knew who I was. I was already believing God for it, seeing it come to pass in here. And the Lord brought it to pass. I didn't ask for it. I didn't hint around. Didn't beg. Didn't give them a sob story that I really need the money. No, I just worked hard. And I believe God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now listen. In whatever capacity of life you function in, He's saying protect your heart because your heart will determine how far you go in that particular field, whether it be in perversity and sin and those things or whether it be in the plan that God has for your life. Just because He planned it for your life does not mean it's going to come to pass. You have to allow the Word of God to come in and to paint those pictures. See? And so that's why he starts this passage off
in verse 20 by saying, "My son, give attention to my words." Over and over and over, Solomon speaks the same thing. And you wonder when you read this, what do you think, we're stupid? Huh? You keep saying the same thing over and over. And if Solomon could speak now, he'd say, "Are you doing it?" "No." "Yes, I think you're stupid," right? Because God keeps saying the same thing over and over. Give attention. You know what give attention means? You know how you spell that? T-I-M-E. It takes time to give attention to the Word of God. That's why we encourage people to get into boot camp. Get into Operational Life. Buy CDs. Read your Bible every day. Get the Word in your heart. It may not seem like it's making a big difference day by day by day, but let me tell you, over a period of time, you will be different. You will be a different person. You'll be completely changed because of the power of the Word of God. So he starts off, "My son, give attention to my words." And then he says this, "Incline your ear." And if you have a pen, I want you to underline the word "ear" because it is a key word in this passage. Incline your, everybody say it, ear. Incline your ear to my sayings, talking about the Bible. Incline your ear. Son, you won't always want to go to church. You're going to wake up some Sundays and you're going to think, "Yeah, not today. Man, I'm tired. Son, you're going to wake up and say, "Man, you know what? There's a ball game on. And I don't want to miss this ball game." And somebody says, "You could TiVo it." No, because then somebody will tell me the score and then that'll mess me up. And so you'll skip. Son, listen. Your ear will not always want to hear the Word of God. Incline. You know what that means? That means coerce, force, push, prod your ear. Son, push yourself to listen to the Word of God. Incline your ear to my sayings. Ear. He goes on to say, "Let them," my sayings, the Word of God, "let them not depart from your eyes." And I want you to underline the word "eyes." "Let them not depart from your," say it with me, "eyes." The next phrase says, "Keep them in the midst of your heart." Underline the word "heart." Now, right here with these three key words, ear, eyes, and heart. Already Solomon is teaching us something because it flows right into verse 23 that says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." The reason he brings up the ear, the reason he brings up the eyes with the heart is he's telling us, son, your ears and your eyes are the two doorways into your heart. If you want to protect your heart, son, you must protect what goes into your ears and you must protect what comes into your eyes. Because, son, those are the two gateways that drop immediately down into your heart. There is no secondary filter. Son, if you don't filter it out, and if something drops in there, dig it out. There is no automatic filtering system where you just say, "Lord, I'm going to be looking at things that I shouldn't and hearing things that I shouldn't. You just go ahead and take care of that." He says, "No, son, you do it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Incline your ear to listen to the Word of God and things that are in line with the Word of God. Son, don't let my words and things that are in line with my Word depart from your eyes. Keep my words in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence." Ears. Let's talk about the ears for a little bit. Your ears are so powerful. Hearing is so powerful. Hearing. In fact, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says that God chose to save people through the foolishness of a system called preaching. That God could have saved people any old way, but God chose to save people through the foolishness of a venue called preaching. God chose that through the preached, declared, spoken Word of God, people would hear the Word of God, it would drop down in their heart, and their mind would say, "Come on, how could that be true? You can't see God. You can't prove that. You can't prove He's real. You can't prove He's going to help you." See, scientifically, no, you can't prove anything. You can't even prove anything in history.
because you can't scientifically reproduce history. Nothing historical can be proven. And so your mind will question it. But the Bible says, but when you hear the Word of God and your heart grabs it and believes it, the Bible says that's the foolish system that God intentionally chose to save people through. The foolishness of the message preached. And so, you were created as a being that when you hear something, it affects your life. It comes into your heart and it affects who you are and who you will become. See? And so here he's saying, son, keep your heart with all diligence. And the first way you do that is, son, you've got to protect your ears. What's going into your ears? I told you before that years ago, I was bound with lust. I struggled. I've been a believer all my life, all since I can remember. My parents loved the Lord and taught us from the time we could talk to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and so on. I've always been a person that loved the Lord and wanted to be a follower of Jesus. Always believed in God, and God has been good to our family over the years. But see, I also grew up going to high school, and I played football, and I was in the locker room with all those guys. And I mean, this was back over 20 years ago. Don't worry about exactly how long it is. None of your business. But in the locker room, all these guys are talking their trash and saying, you know, I'm going to get a piece, and I won't go into the explicit verbal perversity that was constantly flowing. And if you think it was bad then, just think what it's like today. And that stuff was coming into my ears, and I didn't realize how much seed was planted of, listen, verbal pornography. Because words paint pictures. Like, watch this. White, fluffy cat. How many of you could picture that cat in your mind? Can you picture that? Now, is there anybody in here who, when I said that, you pictured a W and an H and an I and a T and an E? No, unless you're some kind of an English major or something. You pictured that dumb cat, right? Now, that's not like some of your cats that are nice cats. This was a dumb one, this one I'm talking about. We got some cat lovers here, and I get in trouble all the time. Black, curly-haired dog. Barking all night, keeping you awake. And you get a broom and walk over there. How many of you can picture that? Now, I didn't even finish the story, but how many of you can picture the story being played out right there, right? I walked over there. Here's what I saw in my mind. I walked over there with that broom. I threw the broom down, and I threw the cat to the dog. Because he was just barking, saying, I'm hungry. I need some cat jerky. Words paint pictures, don't they? You could see me throwing that cat in there, and some of you felt bad, and most of you didn't. The godly ones, I mean, did not. No, words paint pictures. Now listen, when you're listening to verbal, sensual, sexual stuff, those aren't just words that vanish into thin air. Here, Solomon's teaching a son. When they go into your ears, they paint pictures in your heart, and they sow those seeds of that perverse way of looking at things and desiring things, and it enlarges the borders and the parameters of how far you will go in your life in that area. So, son, keep your heart with all diligence. Don't do it, son. Don't listen. And when the Lord freed me many years ago of lust and the bondage, a spirit of lust, I could feel when that thing was on me. And when the Lord freed me from that, and I could tell I was free, but then every once in a while I'd feel something try to attach on again. I'd feel that ugly feeling. And the Lord, through these passages right here in Proverbs, taught me, son, you know, you don't take the Doberman pincher or the pit bull that's chewing on your leg and throw him out the door and leave the door wide open. Son, you cannot keep listening to people that are speaking perversity and expect to stay free from sexual bondage. Because you just open the door and you say, come right into my heart. If you invite it and allow it into your ear, you allowed it into your heart. And when you allow it into your heart, you've just expanded the borders of how far you will go into that area. Because your life will be determined by what's in your heart. The contents of your heart shows your future. See? And so he says, son, listen to me. You've got to cut off what you hear. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it just standing around, even with people that were Christians. You know, I was back at that age, you know, college age, and all the Christians are getting around, hanging out and everything. And it's like, hey, this is kind of bad, but it's funny. Come here, this is funny. And so in all that sexual talk, you know, all the jokes that happen. And they're everywhere. You know, we live in a society where sex is constant. Sexual talk is constant. In fact, you can't even hardly have a conversation with a lot of people without it having innuendos. You know, double meanings. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, hey, I'm going to run down to the store and get a loaf of bread. You know, and I intentionally said loaf of bread because, you know, what does that mean? But I'm telling you, everything, because it's in their heart. It's in their mind. Everything relates to that. And they keep talking it, and it keeps sowing more seed. And the Lord showed me, son, because you're allowing that in, you're giving place to the devil in that area of your life. You're allowing it right into your heart. And wouldn't it be nice if you could listen to anything and it really would go in one ear and out the other? But notice the Bible says it doesn't, son. It's taking root in your heart. And you think, it's not affecting me right now. You think. And you may feel like that, but here's the principle. It's a seed. You may not feel the strength of the tree right now. But once those seeds come up, see, now you've got an oak tree of bondage. And it takes something heavy duty to chop that thing out of your heart. It's not easy. It's easier to keep the seeds out. See, watch what you hear and listen to. On our television, we have a device called TV Guardian. We've had it for many years. In fact, we've got two of them because we just couldn't hook up our system with only one and filter everything. So on any DVD we're watching or video or TV or whatever, what it does is it goes into the text, you know, behind all these movies now and such. They've got text and it reads the text in advance. And whenever some kind of a curse word or a profanity comes up, it just mutes it. And it'll throw replacement words up on the screen. And it's kind of funny sometimes, you know, what it'll do. You know, my wife was watching the New Year's parade. And she was watching, you know, a popular guy does it every single year and another lady. And it kept muting the sound. Every time this lady would talk to the guy, it kept muting the sound. And it kept saying on the screen, Jerk Clark. Jerk Clark. But that's what it does. Just to give an example, it just removes out any potential wrong word and it replaces it on the screen with another word. That's what it does. But let me tell you something. You would be surprised at how many things come right in and you're not paying attention. How many shows that you thought this one's not so bad, but it's getting muted on a regular basis because it's using words that are not appropriate to hear. And it just filters them right out. Well, we got that. Why? Because, listen, we understand this. We understand that we used to sing in Sunday school, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, that's part of the truth, too, that the reason you do it is because it's sin and God's watching you. But here what Solomon's teaching is the reason why it's wrong. The reason why God said it's wrong. Because it destroys our lives. It opens our hearts up to give place in that area. And giving place in that area means that we can't do the other things that the Lord has called us to do because we're so focused on the wrong thing and we're all caught up in sin and bondage. And now you're limited. But just think about it in the other way. Just think about you hearing the Lord about everything you put in your hand to prospering, see? And you meditating, and the borders and the parameters, the limits get pushed farther and farther out of what God can and will do in your life. All of a sudden, you're going to be doing things that you never thought you could do. See that? Your ears, son. Your ears. Well, he goes on to say, do not let them depart from your eyes, the other gateway into your heart. The eyes. The eyes. Your eyes pick up on things. Proverbs says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Some of you single people think, well, you know what, when I get married, then this whole sexual lust thing is going to be solved. It's not true. That's a lie. That's not true. Well, what do you mean? Because then, you know, we can do it anytime we want to. No, that's not the issue. That, first of all, that's a lie right there. Let's get that one settled right now. Second of all, that's not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem that you're struggling with is what you're allowing into your ears and into your eyes, which goes into your heart. See? And when you get married, that stuff still is right there to come into your ears and into your heart, and you'll still have to struggle with what's in your heart. And what's in your heart is wanting gratification whenever you want it. And wherever you want it. That's what your flesh wants. And the eyes of man are never satisfied. Have you ever noticed people, you see them on the magazines, on People magazine, all that, which I don't read, but I see all these beautiful, handsome guys and gals, movie stars that are just the perfect couple, and they get married and all this kind of stuff, and it's about 3 months. 3 months to 2 years. And it's over, and they hate each other, and they got somebody else. And what's going on? How could such beautiful people not be satisfied? Because, listen, that's a crock. It's a lie. It's not true. No. Genuine fulfillment and solid relationship comes from hearts that have purity and righteousness in them. You take perversity and selfishness, self-gratification, and all that stuff that's built up into a relationship to where you're going to get fulfilled? No, you never get fulfilled by getting and taking. You get fulfilled with genuine, listen, not the feeling of love and infatuation. You get fulfilled by a commitment and an understanding of wholesomeness and giving and love and investing into a person for their pleasure and enjoyment. And I'm not just talking about sexual things. I'm talking about in their life to help them to become the person God has called them to be. And when you're giving and serving, that's where you're fulfilled because you're helping somebody. Have you ever noticed at Christmas time, it always feels better, especially when you grow up, to give a gift that really hits the spot with somebody than it is to get something? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's fulfilling when somebody goes, oh, I've been wanting this. Check yourself inside. Doesn't that feel good when you just, man, you just nailed it. You gave somebody. See, that's life. The life is not in the getting and the taking. The life is in the giving and the fulfillment that it brings to give. See, and that's why these relationships out there in the world, they're not working. They're not fulfilling. They're not working. And God's trying to tell us, listen, son, don't pay attention to those guys. Don't follow them. They're filling your heart with stuff. But look at their life. You want to be like them? Listen to them. But son, if you want wholesome fulfillment, long-lasting love and enjoyment in relationships, son, protect your heart from that stuff. Fill yourself with the Word of God. See? Protect your eyes. And I'm talking about movies and internet and billboards, graphics everywhere, magazines and people, live people. Son, your eyes. Your eyes. Protect your eyes. Look at verse 25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. And I encourage every single person, particularly the men, to memorize that little verse. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. What is he saying? Son, you're going to be walking through life. And here and there and everywhere else, there are going to be temptations to look at something, someone, something sensual. And son, if you look and allow that image to come into your heart, it sows just another seed and enlarges the border of your passion going the wrong direction. Son, let your eyes look straight ahead. I remember on our vacation this past summer, we hadn't been for a long time, and so we decided we're just going to drive through Vegas. We weren't stopping there. We didn't even get out of the car. We just drove through. So, kids, look at these buildings, because they do have beautiful buildings there. All built, by the way, by losers. Isn't that right? Every one of them. Well, we're driving through, and man, we just saw so much sexual perversity being advertised. Now, of course, we know that. It wasn't like I was shocked to see any, but I didn't realize the extent. And so the whole time we're telling our kids, oh, look over there, look over there, look over there. Oh, 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 look over there, look at that building over there. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, look straight, look at that taxi. Oh, don't look at that taxi. Don't look at that taxi. Everywhere, everywhere you look, there it was, right in your face. See? Luring you in. And so, this is what he's saying. She's saying, son, listen, put blinders on your eyes, son. Don't be like everybody else. Well, man, why can't I be like everybody else? Son, you can't be like everybody else, because then you'll be like everybody else. Oh, yeah. Son, you want your life to be significant, fulfilling, enjoyable. You want to be trustworthy, trusted, respected, honorable, noble. So, son, you can't let that stuff in your heart. You have to keep your eyes straight ahead. And so this is a verse that I have quoted, I don't know how many hundreds or maybe even thousands of times, just driving down the freeway, some billboard over here with some lady on there, you know, with a provocative look. And it even says on the billboard, come see me over at this gentleman's club. Gentlemen's. What are they doing? They're painting a nice facade, trying to make it look like a respectable thing to do. Gentleman's club. Very intentional, right? Come see me over here. Right? And you learn to, as one book said, bounce your eyes. You see something, just bounce. Bounce right away from it. And I would say it out loud, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Because let me tell you something powerful. Your mind will listen to your mouth. Your mind will listen. If you're ever having struggle with thoughts, then start talking. Let me show you how that works. Ready? Here's what I want you to do. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you, I want you to count in your head up to 20. Just not verbally, but just in your head. Okay? Just slow like this. 1, 2, 3. Just like that. Okay? Ready? And then I'm going to tell you to do something else. On the count of three, I want you to start counting up in your head up to 20. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, now tell me your address, including zip code and your phone number, out loud. Go ahead. Out loud. What happened to your counting? Your mind will stop to listen to what your mouth is saying. You don't take captive thoughts mentally. You don't have a mental war. No, the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. If you want to take captive your thoughts, then you speak the word of God out of your mouth and say, oh, I bless you, Lord. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. I start talking about my wife. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Beautiful. Awesome. Quality. State of the art. Woman of God. Number one, best for me. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with the best. I mean, I've got the best, because anybody else tempting me is a threat to me. I mean, danger to me. Even if I didn't do anything, it's going to affect me. It'll affect my passion toward my wife. But if you'll starve your eyes, see, starve your eyes from other things, sensual perversity and such. Let me tell you something, you married men in particular, then, there, you know, it's like you're hungry and you go to the cupboard, the only thing there is your wife. Is that right? See? Listen. And you know what that does? And I'm not just talking in the sexual area. Do you know what that does in the whole relationship of value and passion? I'm not talking about the kind of passion that you're used to. I'm talking about the passion about the person. I love you. I love to hold my wife. Just hold her. Just to love her. And whisper in her ear, I love you. I love you. I'm so glad to be married to you. But see, that doesn't, you can fake it. But that doesn't happen where there's that heart connection unless you're protecting yourself, see? Protecting yourself. And so we watch ourselves as a family. You know, we'll be watching television as a family. And it doesn't matter what you watch. A commercial will come on that could be inappropriate, just like that. I don't care what channel you're watching. There are things that come on. And in our family, any one of us, mom, dad, daughter, son, any of us say, close your eyes, close your eyes. And, you know, and Jonathan, he'll do, Dad, are you closing your eyes? Dad, are you closing? Yeah, I'm closing my eyes. I got them. I got them right here. I'm closing them. And some of you think, well, that's kind of overkill, isn't it? Nope. Absolutely. Are you kidding? Protecting our hearts. See, God's got big things for the Dearmans. You listen to me? We want our heart to be enlarged in the power of God, but very small and confined when it comes to sexual things. And our world is promoting things in an inappropriate way. And if you just allow anything come into your heart, then just know it's going to come out into your life, see? And so when we go to movies, you know, if we don't go to movies all the time, but when we go to a movie, I've been a member, had a membership for years online with a Christian preview website, and I'll go in there and I'll check out the movie. You know, some movie somebody say, oh man, you got to go see this. It's a great movie. Well, I mean, it's clean. Oh yeah, maybe a couple. I think it's good. And then you go check out on the website, and you know it's got 6 F words and 3 S words and this and that, and profanity and partial nudity, and you start reading through that stuff without looking at the movie, without getting caught up into the story. And you begin to look at the content of what else comes in the mix of that story. And then you stand there and ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to listen to 6 F words and 12 S words and to see some partial nudity and some homosexual innuendos? And you just start reading through that and ask the Lord, Lord, is this good? It's like that teenage girl that was pushing her dad, Dad, I want to have my girlfriends over to watch this movie. And Dad said, I don't think that's an appropriate movie for you guys to watch. Dad, it's our favorite movie. Everybody watches it. Come on, Dad. It's just got a little stuff in it. It's no, not bad. You know, so finally, you know, the dad caves in. All right, fine. Go ahead. Have them over. So he lets all the girls come over. And the dad goes in the kitchen, makes a whole batch of brownies for them. Comes out and stops to push pause. And so they did. He said, listen, I made you guys some brownies. And they're like, yeah, brownies, you know. And they got him. He goes, oh, wait, just before you eat them, let me just tell you. Now, I went out to the backyard, and I just got a little bit of dog poop and put it in here. mixed it all. He said, listen, just a little bit. I mixed it all. You won't even be able to taste it. And, of course, the girls are, ooh, thick. Oh, I can't believe. Your dad's weird. Oh, man, what? And, of course, his point was very clear. Sometimes we think, oh, just a little bit is okay. Just a little bit. We wouldn't put it in our mouths, but we'll put it into our heart. And so we're careful. And you can go to Dr. Dobson's site. He's got a part of, on his site called Plugged In, and you can get free movie reviews. And just read through. See what they're about. Why would you go to that extent? You know why? Because your life is going to be determined by what's in your heart. And if you don't protect your heart, then you're not. Your life is unprotected. And you think you can control it. You think you can listen and watch and keep it under control. And you've got this underneath the ground volcano of lust lava and burning perversity happening. And you put on, you know, your suit and your smile and you get dressed and you go out and think you got it covered. No way. You cannot keep that underground. It will surface. It'll get you. Every time. Every time. See? This is what God is teaching us here. In one of our
kids workers email my wife here just this last week. And I want to read you an excerpt of what he emailed. He said, Pastor Kim, I just wanted to share, and you know she's our kids pastor, just wanted to share what a couple of the third grade boys asked me during our journaling time. I began to share with the boys from Luke 11:33 what Jesus said about how our eyes are the windows into our hearts and that we must guard what we look at. And I began to ask the boys to solicit from them movie titles of movies that they'd watched. And he said, and I was shocked at the different violent and horror titles that these kids have been exposed to. And the most popular was the Chucky series. And I know that's a horror film. I've never seen it. He said, then while explaining to them the consequences of allowing darkness into their hearts, a couple of the boys raised their hand and said, and called this teacher by name, please tell Pastor Jerry to tell the adults not to let us watch those kind of movies anymore. Parents, we need to step up. You can't be a wimpy parent. That's not right. Being a good parent is not easy. If you just lay down, do the easy thing, act like you don't know what your kids are watching, and say, oh, I didn't know. That's not an excuse. That's wimpy. That's wimpy. You're responsible to know that. You're responsible to find that out. You're responsible to pay attention. And are you going to get some backlash? Yes. Yes. Everybody else gets to watch it. You're just being too strict. Why can't I? I mean, are you going to get? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But you're supposed to be able to handle it because you are an adult. And adults are supposed to have the capacity to withstand the backlash and the abuse that comes from the kids. Why can't I do it? Because listen, they're kids. One of the signs of immaturity is thinking you're more mature than you are. Isn't that right? I should be able to make my own decisions. I know what's good for me. Well, they don't. They don't. They don't know. And that's why God put parents in their lives to tell them what's appropriate and to draw the line and to take and suffer the... Oh, there's a backlash. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. Why do we do it? Because we know it's bad for them. That's why. It's bad for them. It will destroy them. You know, I years ago, when I didn't know who it was, I was watching some talk show. And they had on a new up-and-coming radio announcer that was just starting to dominate the market called Howard Stern. Well, now, of course, everybody knows who he is. Back then, I'd never heard of the guy. Years ago, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago. And he talked about, they talked about his sexual content. And he talked about how when he was a little boy, he was left alone a lot. And he'd go downstairs in the basement and play with dolls, take all their clothes off and begin to do all kinds of things. And things that he would hear on television and everything, he would begin to play those out and the parents were nowhere to be found. And now, here he grows up and that raging volcano of perversity is happening inside him, just a little boy. But because that seed just continued to be watered, now he grows up and now he's one of the primary causes for the pushing of the lines and the advancement of perversity in our world today. Why did that happen? Because parents absolved themselves from their responsibility. And parents, we need to step up. That's not right. Listen to me. I'm getting on your case a little bit. I know. But that's a job that I have here. The Lord requires of me that I bring these things out from the Word of God and call you to step up. If you haven't done it right, that's okay. Ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. Step up today. And suffer. It's going to take some abuse in the next few weeks. Step up today. Be the parent God has called you to be. There was another email that came just this week. Listen, this kids worker said, I normally sketch out superheroes for the kids who finish their journal on time, like Batman and Superman. But one of the third grade boys asked me to draw one of the women from Sex in the City. And he said, because she's so hot. He said, so I'm reminded that we need to pray for these kids daily.
Sex in the City, that's not appropriate even for adults that are living godly. You understand what I'm saying? But for a third grader? That's ridiculous. I mean, some of these shows, in the title, you get a little hint that maybe you shouldn't watch it. They tell you. Here's what it's all about, right? I read an article this week in Orange County Register. And here's the title of the article, the headlines. Teens are watching steamier TV today. And it showed how in 1998, of the television shows, 56% had sexual content. In 2002, 64% had sexual content. In 2005, 70% have sexual content. And among the top favorites of the teens today, Desperate Housewives. Well, that's not good. You know, it's funny how, you know, you have to come to church for somebody to say, that's not good to watch. But we as the body of Christ ought to be saying that in regular conversation. That's not good to fill your heart with. That, listen, even if somebody's not a Christian or a believer, you fill your heart with that stuff. And Desperate Housewives, is that about saying, oh, I am going to lavish my husband with love? No. That's just automatically in the title. You can hear it. You can hear it. I'm going to get what I want. I'm not being fulfilled. And so therefore, I'm going to... There are other venues, other avenues, other ways, other... And you know what? That's exactly what you need to stay away from. The alternatives. And there's a whole show right there. And I haven't even watched the thing. I don't even know all the details about it. And please don't come and tell me. I don't want to know all about it. I just know that's not appropriate. If you want to live godly. Are you listening to me? Now listen, you want to be like everybody else in the world? Watch it and enjoy it. Go ahead. And we'll pray for you. And when your life gets messed up, come on over. We'll pray. We'll help you out. We'll give you some counseling and let you know you need to close the door on those things and believe God to restore what's left. But if you're wise, you'll listen to what I'm saying now. If you want fulfillment in life, you've got to protect your heart. Now, he goes on in verse 24, notice, to say this. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Underline the word mouth. Everybody say mouth. Mouth. And put perverse lips. Lips. Put perverse lips far from you. What is he saying? He's saying, son, and this is what God taught me years ago. You want to be free, son? You got to stop talking all that sexual stuff. You got to stop all those sexual jokes, all those comments. Son, you got to stop that. You can't do that. Nope. Can't do that. Put perverse lips. Now notice he didn't say whose lips they were. If they're speaking perversity, put them far from you. Why? Because those words are going to come into your heart. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak out of your mouth, James 3 says, will determine where your body's going to go. That's what James 3 says. He says, your tongue is like the bit in a horse's mouth. You pull the bit to the right, the whole body of the horse goes to the right. It's like the rudder on a ship. You turn that rudder and the whole ship is steered. He's saying, son, that's your tongue. Your tongue will steer your whole life. But then he goes on, if you remember James, and says, after it's so important, your tongue, what you say. Then he goes on to say, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And you're like, well, what's the point then? You know, you tell us the tongue is the key. It's what you say, son. But then he says, but nobody can tame the tongue. But Jesus gave us the answer to that. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it comes back to what Solomon's saying. Son, if you can protect your ears, you can protect your heart. Your eyes, you can protect your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you go to fill your tank up with gas, of course, you can look at the gas gauge and see when it's full. But if you don't have the key on and the gas gauge is not working right now, there's another way to find out if it's full. Just keep pumping the gas. Isn't that right? And when it gets full, what does it do? It kicks back out of the mouth. And when you fill yourself with the Word, a lot of people think, I'm full of the Word because I go to church. When you're full of the Word, how can you tell? Because in everyday conversation, the Word will come up. You'll speak the Word. It'll just start coming out of your mouth because you're full of it. But listen, if the Word of God is not coming out of your mouth, then that'll show you you're full of something else. Is that true? Listen, whatever you are full of, you'll talk about. Whatever you sow in abundance, it'll start coming out of your mouth. You'll talk about it. And so if you're not talking the Word, it's because you're not sowing the Word in enough. So get into boot camp. Get into the Word. Read your Bible. Get some CDs. Begin to listen to it in your car. Listen to it at home. Man, I went through a whole phase where when God changed me and delivered me, I didn't listen to radio. Radio, man, I need the Word. I want God's Word pumping into my... I want somebody preaching His Word, reminding me of who I am, reminding me of how to be free. And I'm telling you, God set me free in that season where I just abundantly put the Word in my heart. And all my friends who were still doing it the way everybody else does it were not free. But I got free because I listened to this, see? Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Listen to somebody who says, well, no, I can tell little jokes and it ain't going to bother me. Really? Listen to Proverbs 17:20. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Listen to that last part. He who has a perverse tongue falls. He who has a perverse tongue falls. No, I can keep it together. I can still talk that stuff. And he who has... Listen, God's been around a lot longer than you. He who has a perverse tongue falls. Didn't He say that? Into evil. You cannot get by with that. Okay? Now, let's close it with this. Last two verses of this passage. Verse 26. He says, ponder the path of your feet. Underline the word feet. Feet. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And remove your foot. Underline the word foot. From evil. Foot. Feet. He's talking about. So he says here, son, listen. If you can control your ears and your eyes, you can control what goes into your heart. If you can control your heart, you can control what comes out of your mouth. But son, if you don't control your mouth, then you can't control where your feet are. And let me tell you something powerful. This is deep. Listen closely. Here's the principle Solomon's bringing about feet. If your feet aren't there, neither are you. So when he says, don't put your foot there, what he's saying is, son, there are places that you should not be. Don't go there. Don't be there. So let me wrap this up in a nutshell. Now listen to this. Just listen. Don't write this down. Just listen to it. He says, son, if you can control your ears and your eyes and fill your heart through your ears and your eyes with the Word of God and keep out the sinful temptations, then your heart will be full of the Word. And when your heart's full of the Word, your mouth will speak the Word and things in line with the Word of God. And when your mouth speaks the Word of God, your body will follow your tongue and your feet will not be where they shouldn't be, but they'll be where they should be. And when your feet are not where they shouldn't be, it'll be easy for you, son, to control what's going in your ears and your eyes. See the cyclical nature of this? But once you get on the wrong path, it just feeds on itself and you end up watching the wrong things, listening to the wrong things, hanging around the wrong people, and it just continues to sow more and more and more. And before you know it, that's called bondage. And you can't get out without the power of God. But the power of God is available. But it takes the wisdom of God that we're studying here to allow the power of God to be the continual power that keeps you free from bondage. I have a beautiful relationship with my wife. But it didn't happen just because I'm so special and she's so special. Well, it's because they're pastors, see, and it just happens for them. No, it does not. It does not just happen for us. It happens because these principles here, we work these principles. And we guard our ears, we guard our eyes,
We protect our heart. We fill our hearts with the Word of God. And the truth and the fulfillment of what God's Word promises comes to pass in your life. It'll work for you just like it works for me. And the Lord is helping us today, giving us wisdom and clarity about how these things work. Father, thank you for your Word today. Thank you for speaking, piercing the darkness. Lord, I bless you that in this very room there are some people who just had lies and deceptions shattered. And all of a sudden they see clearly. They know exactly how the devil has been haunting them, binding them, locking them up, sinking his claws into their life. And they haven't realized how they got bound, because in their heart they don't want to be like that, and you know it. Lord, in their heart they want to be free and they want to be significant. They want to fulfill the great plan that you have for their lives. But yet, Lord, this whole stewing, volcanic lava of bondage raging inside, it needs to be extracted. It needs to be flushed out with the washing of the water of the Word. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen each and every person here to make those adjustments necessary, even now, right now. And Lord, I pray for every man that you bring them, if at all possible, here tonight to continue talking about the level that you called us to. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everybody in this room.